This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's time for the Aftermess Podcast. How you doing? It's your guy, Joey Boy.
It's your queen, Anish.
Hi, it's Gina.
And Carla.
Carla and Anish were talking, and you guys brought up an interesting subject that we were chiming in on the group. Text message. Mm-hmm. We have a group message that we have with one another called Monin, M-O-A-N-I-N, mess. Yes. And sometimes I have to double take because I feel like our show has different groups on message, with like one with our boss.
Yes.
One with our promotions and boss, one with just promotions. So Monin, mess, about holding friends accountable. Where does this stem from?
Well, for me, it comes from yesterday. I was out with the gays, and when I got there, we went out for brunch. We were actually at R&R in Scottsdale. We got there, and I asked right off the bat, I was like, I'm hungry, y'all eating? And everybody was like, yes. I was in a group of like six people. Two of them made sure to let us know that they were like, but we're doing keto, which is like the very low to no carb diet. But literally like 10 minutes later, I saw both of them eating carbs. So I'm just sitting back and I'm just like, so do I hold you accountable for eating the carbs because you told me that you're doing the keto diet? Or do I just kind of like let you be? Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do as a friend right now.
Right. The Aftermess. Holding your friends come. As soon as you brought that up, a certain friend of mine came up in my mind where he got caught cheating on his lady numerous fucking times. And it wasn't until his lady was like, I'm taking our fucking son. I'm leaving you. Fuck you. And he was like, oh, this shit is for real. Like, she would leave him. I mean, it was back and forth. But mm-hmm. she literally moved out with their son. And he was just like, fuck. So 8 months go by and we're trying to hold him accountable. We see him like, bro, you about to talk to this fucking girl. I see you at the bar, bro. You told us to tell you or to keep you in check. And if not, then just break up with your lady. You can still co-parent, but you can't get mad at us sure. for already telling you you're going to fucking ruin your life. She's a good girl. She's an awesome girl. In all honesty, she deserves better than this piece of shit guy. Love the guy, but should not be in this relationship. But here's what I will say to that. I will mention it to you. I will hold you accountable the first time.
Yeah.
Maybe even the second time. But after the second time, I'm like, hey, man, that's on you. Whether it's a diet, whether it's cheating, whether it's like, I've told you, I've done my due diligence as a friend. You fuck yourself up or you do whatever mm-hmm. you think you need to be doing at this moment of weakness.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the friend and what you're talking about, too. I mean, a diet's one thing. Cheating's totally mm-hmm. bigger than that. But I remember, I don't know if you were here for this one, Joey. We did a podcast, and we were talking about who you vent to and how you have to be careful who you vent to.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go to someone and bitch about my husband, Bryce, if they're just going to fuel my fire and talk bad shit on Bryce. Like, let me vent, be that emotional mm-hmm. support, but also kind of help keep me in check a little bit. You know, like, Bryce is still a really great guy. He's an amazing, like, he's a perfect, like, not perfect. No one's perfect, but he's a great husband. You know what I mean? I don't want you to be that person who's going to feed into my negativity. So, I mean, don't offer him the potato chips, you know? But, I mean,
ooh,
maybe say something,
okay.
You know? It's a tough situation.
Yeah, I know, because, like, right before we started doing the podcast, I was talking to you, Carla, about it, and, like, you kind of switched my mind a little bit too, because like it kind of touches on what you were saying, Joey, about like the cheating, but there was a little bit more of what you were saying where I was like, oh, wait a minute. I don't know how I feel about this.
Was it the drinking part?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because you know how sometimes you'll be like, oh, I'm not drinking anymore. Not you'll be like, I'll be like, I'm not drinking anymore, but then you'll like see me drink and it's kind of like, do you say something to me or do you just fucking let me drink because I am a grown-ass fucking woman and at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I do because you guys, like, Natasha is lactose intolerant and she will eat ice cream. Mm-hmm. Like, is it your place to say something about it? And I know that sounds like really small, but for some people who like are actual hardcore alcoholics, it's like, do you say something?
I like alcoholic, like the definition alcoholic, or you just drink too much like you?
No,
or
like,
did. Or when you did. Like, I don't think you were an alcoholic.
No, at all. No. I just like
but
to have
I mentioned it to you. Like, I thought you were going to stop drinking. Well, you know, however, da, da, da. And it was just a joke. But then every time you kind of drank, I didn't make a big deal out of it. I didn't throw it in your face. Like, oh, she's going to do whatever the fuck she... I mentioned it. It's kind of like what I said. I'll mention it the first time. After two or three, you're a grown-ass person. I'm not... You can't hold me accountable and me accountable of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And with that, though, here's a spin. Have you guys ever had a friend or a partner where, like, I know my old roommate, she had a boyfriend who would tell her that he didn't like her to go out with me. Like, he'd be like, oh, I don't like when you go out with Carla because she's crazy and she's, like, gonna, like, force you to cheat and stuff, which makes no fucking sense.
No.
Because it's like, I am not the boss of you. Like, you can't hold me accountable for the mistakes in your relationship. I could be the world's biggest thought. I could literally be the world's biggest hoe. And that doesn't mean that your girlfriend is going to cheat on you because she's hanging out with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't try to hold me accountable for your mistakes in your relationship.
But you are like the match. If she's an arsonist, you're the match.
Oh, my God.
Not even.
Like, you would be like, it's okay, girl. You don't do anything.
No.
I mean, I'm not going to say, yeah.
You I wouldn't talk. Say it's okay, but I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, don't do it. Because, first of all, fuck that guy. I never liked him. But, like... But even if, like, I really did like your boyfriend, it's like, guess what? Your boyfriend's not my friend. You're my friend.
And that's a whole other thing, too.
Did she ask you, though? Like, if I'm a friend and I'm like, yo, just, like, keep an eye out. I might be a little crazy tonight and I really like this guy. I don't want to fuck shit up. You know?
I've had friends do that. I've had
friends do that. How many times?
Once.
Okay. Really so I'm going to say, I'm sure you hit your limit. You can't fucking be asking me that every time you go out.
I
you know
one
what I mean?
Really good friend who literally, she gets really drunk really fast because the girl drinks like a 40-year-old man who's gone through 3 divorces and lost half a shit in each one.
Wow.
Like, she drinks, but she's very small, so she gets drunk really fast. And I remember she came up to me, she was like, Carla, please don't let me cheat on my boyfriend tonight. Like, I really like
That's
him.
That's the first mistake.
I don't want to cheat on him. And
my God.
I was like, okay. And I did stop her. In fact, me and my boyfriend at the time, he who shall not be named, we did stop her a few times from when she was getting a little too flirty, a little too touchy.
A few times that night?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And then towards the end of the night, though, I started getting really tipsy. And he was like, we should go home. And we were in company with other friends.
This was recent.
This was a topic on
you
the show.
You told us.
This was a topic on the show.
Okay, you left.
And we left. And obviously, like, we left her with the rest of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that she, like, didn't give them the forewarning of stop me. And she went home with another guy.
Wasn't she pissed at you?
She was, like, low-key mad at me.
Yeah, she
and
can't
I was
be
like,
mad at you.
Yeah, you can't
no.
be. Nah. That's, like, a whole next level of accountability. Like,
right.
I can't be accountable about your whoredom. Like, if you want to go out there,
but
I'll still be your friend, but you can't hold me accountable and blame
Hell
me.
No.
Yeah, nah, can't do that.
There's certain lines, and there's definitely certain limits with friends. Like, even yesterday, like, the other thing was, like, one of the other gays, like, in the group, like, wanted the rest of us to help let down a guy that he's seeing, like, to kind of let him down in terms of, like, there's this boy, we'll call him Chris. Chris is seeing this other guy, we'll call him Nick. He wanted the rest of us
to tell Nick
that he's just like, I don't think Chris is that into you. And I was just like, Hold on. That's where my line is drawn.
Wait a minute. He wasn't asking you for advice on wording. He literally wanted you to send the message as, hi, I'm a niche. Mm-hmm. Hello, Chris. My friend doesn't like you?
Yeah.
How fucking old is this guy? That literally is like some third grade bullshit. Like, first crush. I don't understand. That's weird.
It was hella weird. I was really confused. Like, I was sitting back and I was like, I asked the same question. I was like, do you want us to feel him out? I mean, do you want us to get, like, advice for you? Do you want me to see, like, if he really likes you? And he was like, no, I just want you guys to collectively, like, let him down.
When he asked?
No, we weren't.
The whole thing of accountability, I do look at it differently nowadays. Like, really quick, think about this one person, or a person, a true friend that came to you and checked you about something that came to you and really came to you on some... Hey, I have an issue with our friendship. I have an issue, and then be straight up about it. Because our boss, who I considered a friend, Decipher, at one point, came to me as a friend. And I appreciated the fuck out of it. And it took our friendship to the next level. That I'm like...
Totally.
All right, yeah, okay.
Totally.
Fuck, okay. I hear where you're coming from. Does that happen a lot? Because I feel like
No, it doesn't happen. Well, that was why it was weird when I got into the whole like the morning mess, like to be told that, where I was, it was like you need to be a little bit more upfront with the way that you feel and all that stuff. It took a while for me to get into that, because not only is this a professional environment, but like even on a personal level, the only person besides my sister who will really let me know how she feels all the time is my friend Tyndall. Who you've met? I don't think so. Yeah.
No.
So she checked me. She checked me. This was like, I got this job. This was probably like my second year on the show, and she was just like, "Listen, I get that you're trying to become like this big star or whatever the fuck, but like, we haven't hung out in a while."
I like that.
And you also talk about how, like, because we have like a group chat on WhatsApp, and like we leave a lot of like voice messages on things or whatever. And like at that time, I was like leaving messages where I was just like, "Damn, like." I feel like I'm not getting enough time to go and hang out with like people or friends. Like I feel like I'm so busy. And she's just like, to a certain extent, she was like, I get it, but after a while it's bullshit. Like, yes, you can make time for friends. And she really checked her. She was like, and I saw that you were hanging out with so and so or whatever the fuck was, because you know, part of our gig, we're on social media. We share a lot of our lives on social media. And she was like, how do you not have time to hang out with me, but you have time to go hang out with whoever it was at that time? And it was just
Wasn't she the one that kind of encouraged you to do the audition?
100%
for
was
this show.
The person, yeah. Today is actually the anniversary of she performed outside. It's a really ridiculous anniversary, but like she did like a live show outside. We had this person that used to work here, Iceman, who put like this show together for First Fridays.
I remember that.
Yeah, and she performed out here, and that was the first time that like I was ever on this like parking lot. And then literally like a few weeks later, she was just like, "Remember that station we were at? Like, they're hosting a job audition thing."
She's a real one, because she's encouraging your dreams. It's not like she's someone out here trying to drag your ass down because she's like jealous or anything. She pushed you to audition and then said, "Sir, calm down. You can hang out with me. You got time."
Yeah, I love that.
And that's a friend. You have to give a fuck about that because I can count on a few fingers of people that were real with me. Even though they knew, like, what's the backlash going to be. But then our friendship became the next level. I've had to have real talks with Niche because I really care for Niche. And everyone knows I'm good friends with Niche, where I'm like, yo, you got to have my back, bro. In certain times in radio, because I care for the guy. But this is as you grow older into this business, or just in people. You don't have to be in radio.
Yes.
Listen, if you're listening to this podcast right now, accountability is you telling your friends you're fucking up. Your friendship, or you're fucking up your marriage, or you're just fucking up as a mother or father. You have to appreciate that.
You know, because like I'm thinking about it, and friendship-wise, friendship level, it doesn't happen. It certainly happens in my marriage. Bryce and I are both very good at that, and
I
think that's a strong point. We're both very, very upfront, and I'm like, this is a serious problem. We need to address it. I'm having issues, and we both do that. Both of us. It also happens a lot for me and my family, with certain sisters more than others, and my mom. God, ever since I was a fucking kid. You know, like some parents are like, not my child. My child would never. My mom's the opposite.
Yes.
She's like, you need to sit your fucking cocky ass down right now. Like, she will knock me down so many pegs, but I need that. And my mom still does that, especially when I'm pregnant. It drives me crazy because so many times she's out here siding with Bryce, and I'm like, woman, you're my mother. She goes, and you're on one right now. You need to calm down. He's fine. I was like, oh, fuck. But she always gives it to me straight, so I do appreciate that. And then another one is our boss, Tim. I don't have that relationship with DeCypha. I don't know if we've ever had like a hardcore headbutt where maybe he's felt like he's need to. But Tim, ever since I was an intern, he's the one who hired me. And I think he really took me under his wing to kind of groom me into a talent. And because he is such a great boss and cares about you more than an employee, he's told me numerous times, like, this behavior's got to change or you're not going to go far. Like, this wasn't okay, and he will correct. And it comes from a really good place.
Yeah.
But friendship-wise, I feel like that doesn't happen that much with friends.
Yeah,
it's
doesn't.
Interesting.
It does. And sometimes you got to look in the mirror, though.
Yeah.
Because it can't be one-sided. You got to be that friend, too.
Totally.
So you can't be like, well, no one's my real friend. You got to fucking do it as well.
That's literally exactly what I was about to say. Because when I was talking to Anish before the podcast, I was like, I never hold my friends accountable because none of my fucking business when it comes to stuff like cheating, when it comes to stuff like drinking and shit, because I'm like, oh, it's none of my business. But now that I'm seeing it like opposite end, I should be. Mm-hmm. A part of being a good friend is checking your friends on things that matter. I don't, if you're lactose intolerant, you're eating milk or drinking milk, I don't care. But like, but Tiffany, she's my best friend out here and we don't see each other as often, and that's also my bad. Because I'm terrible at managing my own time. That's the real tea. But she would tell me when I was cheating on my ex-boyfriend, like, just break up with him. Like, why are you with him? Like, I don't want to be your friend if you're not going to break up with him. And at first I was like, ew, why? I'm not cheating on you. But then I realized, like, it does reflect bad, I don't know, a judgment on my part as a person. And I could understand completely why she wouldn't want to associate herself with mm-hmm. me. So it's like, I'm glad that she checked me, because you know what? At the end of the day, like, I should have left that relationship a motherfucking long time ago. And it's like, I needed that, but I didn't have enough people telling me that, I feel. Even though I don't need people to tell me.
Well, no,
I
but it's know. Still, but you're also human.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to start doing that more. Obviously, though, how Gina says it, honesty without tact. Dick is cruel. Is that your
without
quote?
Tact? Yes.
Without tact. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's definitely something I need to practice on my own friendships.
Because like, it's a hard line to draw with a friend. Because us talking about this right now, I think I've just like ended friendships before I would mm-hmm. even.
Oh, same.
Go there.
Same. You really have to care about the person to put the energy.
Yeah.
In there.
But it's because it's also easier to do it that mm-hmm. way, too,
yeah.
right?
Oh, absolutely.
I've never really thought absolutely. About that before. It's mm-hmm. way easier for me to just be like, girl, I don't have time for this bullshit. I'm yeah. out of here. But, yeah, like, you really have to, because I'll think about it, too. Like, you know, my sister's really good at it. My dad's okay with it. But, like, we're kind of stuck. You know what I mean? Like, that relationship is completely different. That bond is completely different than that of, like, a friend where I can't just get another sister. You know what I mean? Like, I can't just get another dad.
Blood is blood. My whole family is very terrible at it. They're very
really?
Horrible. And I wish,
that's interesting.
Even my marriage, Amber is not a confrontational person at all, where I wish it was as healthy as you and your husband, Bryce, because I'm the one that extremely communicating with her.
Well, and then we have like to, a dick.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's why I have a problem with that I'm always the dick. I'm like, babe, no, we have to figure this out before mm-hmm. we go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Or, babe, this has been going on for a week. What is your deal? Something simple like I talked about earlier. She's too busy. Momming, blogging, the YouTube, everything, da da da. So I was like, well, what is it? Like, we can't just, the house can't be a fucking mess. Let me know what you need. Well, I don't want to bother you. You're not bothering me. I'm going to ask you what I need.
Right.
You should ask, like, you know what? It's, again, her not asking. So, like, I'm going to fold the clothes, and if the laundry gets too big, I'll do the laundry. But certain things can't just go unnoticed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I wish she would be like, you know what? I'm fucking tired. Can you put the kids to sleep and fold the clothes? Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. I get you're coming from you're stressed out.
Yeah.
I get that. But she won't. She'll just be, like, tired, and she'll fall asleep, like, on the sofa, and then communicate.
Do you think it's always been like that? Because I feel like that's more common to not be confrontational. Like, I ask that because, like, I know that we're all, like, very, like, in our phones nowadays. And a lot mm-hmm. of people think that we've kind of lost a lot of, like, so basic social skills and stuff. Like, do you think that's what it is? Or
No.
Not in my house. Amber's just, me and her are both very much busy. But
I don't think it's like, I mean, maybe for some people, but also the whole, think of how, I guess, there's lots of memes about it, and I don't want to get all, what's the word I'm looking for, like gender roles or double-edged sword with double standard, that's what I'm trying to think of. But a lot of the times, the like woman in the relationship, the housewife, was expected kind of just to shut up and do her job. She mm-hmm. wasn't really encouraged to speak up. So I don't know. I think it's been a problem for a long time. But on the flip side, there's guys that are like that too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe that has attributed to it a little bit.
Right.
But I don't think it's like this big driving leading factor, personally.
You know, it's crazy on the show how we were talking about letter writing mm-hmm. letters or whatever. Mm-hmm. Amber still does that.
Oh, yeah, she does.
She'll write me a letter. She'll write me a letter of problems in the relationship every blue moon. And I'm like, you could just tell me. Tell me this, because it loses context.
That's true.
Like, tell me how you feel.
I feel like we need to
discuss
it. Yeah. But that might help open the door if she's nervous.
But then when we talk,
it doesn't.
It's one-sided. It's just me talking.
Okay.
And then be like, talk to me.
I have that problem. I am Amber in that situation. So I remember So in my last relationship, obviously, it was really shitty. And when I would vent to you guys, I could tell you guys 1,000 things that were wrong and 1,000 things that he was doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And the minute that we started arguing or that we would start even getting into a normal conversation about it, he would just go on and on and on and on about everything that I was doing wrong. And I could never get the words out of my mouth to say what he had done. And it got to the point where one day I was like, we were on FaceTime and I pulled out a notebook. Like if I was in a debate. Like a college debate. And I had to like write down every, like all my thoughts because I couldn't gather them at the moment. And I think maybe that might be what Amber struggles with. It's like, let me write down what it is that is the initial problem because she doesn't like confrontation. I don't either. Once it starts, you kind of freeze.
Yeah, and, I get that. I don't think anyone likes confrontation. I think people got to realize and going through morning show boot camps and morning shows in general, understand that confrontation is healthy because you confront the situation, you try to resolve it. And that's the same as a relationship. Like,
right.
We have to confront each other on what bothers each other. Like, with my wife, like, confront me, and accountability of, like, you said you were going to fold the laundry. It's not getting done. Confront me on that. Call me on my bullshit.
And do it in a healthy way, because healthy confrontation is healthy, because I know former me was all about like, bitch, this is what's wrong with you, and I don't fuck with this shit, and I don't fuck with your boyfriend. I would walk away, and the moment anything came back to me about anything that I was doing wrong, I was having it.
Mm-hmm.
So I also, you know what I mean?
No, like I absolutely know what
you mean.
On the
flip side, I look back and I'm like, God, I was such a fucking asshole. But like, I understand like why eventually like certain relationships I had in the past and friendships that I had in the past where we wouldn't have those moments because I also wasn't laying the ground to allow that to happen. I was very much like, I am the fucking best in the world, bitch. You're a piece of shit. This is why. Bye.
Yep. That's exactly why what Carla said, my quote I like earlier, it's basically a fancy way of saying how you say shit matters.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. How you say it matters. And then you have to be receptive back. And in the beginning of my relationship with Bryce, I wasn't. But in the beginning, he also wasn't receptive to confrontation. He was the type of guy we'd get into an argument and he's walking out of the room.
Oh, those are the worst.
But you know what? I followed him. I follow him into the next room. I'm like, we're not fucking done here. Like, I can't. It's never going to work for me if we can't come to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that very... Oh, I followed his ass. I made it very well known.
I'm not touching you. Right?
And sometimes that's not good. Sometimes you need space.
You
but
do.
It got to a point where it just like it never went anywhere. There's a difference between let's talk about this later and let's never talk about it.
And he
was let's never talk about it. And so eventually we got to a place where no, now we talk. But he'll call me out on shit. He's like, I just sat here and had to listen, and you wanted me to understand how you felt. And when I'm trying to tell you how I feel, it's I don't understand this and that because of this and that. I'm like, okay, well, that's fucking true. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot
you
of
you hear it.
That is accountability.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. So it has to come from both sides because if you are someone who you think you do well with confrontation, you might actually not. Mm-hmm. You might be really good at bringing shit up. But like Anish says, when it comes to listening to your shit, sometimes you're not receptive, and you have to be. If you want it to be two ways.
That's what I'm learning in the past year. And you know, the big boss was in town last week. Let me tell you, there's a lot of management. Big boss is in town, and he made a comment. We said, going in 2020, we're doing very, very well, and thank you to all the Morning Messengers and everybody, amazing listeners we have listening to the podcast. We're getting so busy, and we have brought up a lot of points, and we don't have a producer. We're like probably one of the only morning shows that I know that doesn't have a producer, but we're doing really, really well. So the guy, what do you guys want? The big guy, PAX. Mm-hmm. And what do you guys need?
Yeah.
And we say, you know, we would like a producer. And he's like, be careful what you wish for, because if it's working right now, you got to be careful, because if you come in, and he made total sense, because I've had both. You want a producer, then you want a real producer, not someone to go get your coffee.
True.
And this, because I've had that.
Yeah.
And that's bullshit. He's totally on the money. So be careful what you wish for. Hey, you want a producer? Here's someone we're going to pay $5 an hour and come in here. Hey, we got a producer. Not really.
Yeah.
We want a real producer.
Yep.
And we had a great producer, Shannon. Now, Shannon was a dose of reality for me when she came in here, because Shannon would set me straight. Nope, you're doing this. Nope, you're doing that. And at first, like you said, it was hard. I was like, I don't know. And then after a while, I'm like, fuck, I love Shannon.
Yeah.
Because she kept everything like this, right, Anish?
Oh, and my God. She was on the ball, on the money. And yes. I mean, that was...
She kept me in check, and I needed that. I had to be accountable. Like, she's like, nope, we agreed that we're going to stay till this time. Nope, you promised that this is a... You promised you're going to record this commercial, da da da. And I was like...
Wait, Joey, that's so funny, because you totally are, like, a creature of habit. So, like, that's funny.
Yeah. And I got used to it with her. She was... Mm-hmm. On it.
She's great, though.
She's great.
She's a good person.
Yeah.
I miss her. I miss you, Shannon.
Yeah.
We miss you so much, girl.
So much.
You weren't even my producer. I just miss you. I came in for midday, so she would always be here. And we were both pregnant at the same time. So that was a bonding-ass experience. Yeah. Our babies are, like, weeks apart.
And she was awesome.
Yeah. And right. Did she have her baby yet?
Yeah. Yes.
She did. Okay, that's what I thought.
Beautiful baby. Beautiful
baby. Oh, my God.
So you know what? Shannon, hi.
We just saying hello, honey.
I actually came in to try to learn how to produce while Shannon, right before she was going to give birth. And I remember, like, that's how I met her. She was like, this and this and this and this. And they're never on time. They're never on time. So we have to go in there. Come on. We have to go in the room. They're never on time. And I was like, oh, my God. She's like, first, you join the conversation a little because you know they're talking. And I was like, uh-huh.
She's so good.
And then she's like, and then you have to remind them. You said. Like, and I was just like, so it's like. This is a lot.
Like, it was Jedi. She was like Jedi mind tricked. It worked because
such a skill.
It is. Producing a morning show is the hardest job.
It is, and it's so thankless for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, even if your talent thanks you once a day, it ain't enough. Like,
yeah. Then we did with her, and she missed. I just caught up with her. She missed the show, and she was so awesome. And me and her bonded a lot. Me and her bonded so much over the process of she wants us to win. So
I
bad.
Love that.
That's the thing. Like, just to get back to accountability too, is that like, just to compare like her with anything else, like friends or whatever, she was passionate.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a genuine sense of like she had an interest in the show.
Mm-hmm.
She's passionate about the show, about radio, about the industry, like whatever it is. That's a huge part of it too, right? Like, I have to be really invested in the friendship or the relationship that I'm in to be like,
that's a good point.
I actually care.
You get because if you go back and some of your friends, how you, it feels like me, you, and Gina can all say like, hey, we were assholes and we're all working to that point. You're not where you want to be at, but you weren't. You're not where you were.
100%.
Some of those you can give a fuck about. You're like, eh. But some of those you're like, damn, if I can go back, I probably should have worked on that a little bit. Show more tact into confronting that person because I miss that person.
I mean, they did
me kind of wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can go back like, all right, I should have showed a little bit more compassion or the accountability. They were trying to put me on check, or maybe I should have put them on check and we
could have
saved
a
friendship.
Through this.
Yeah.
You know?
And like Anish said, it's different with family. Their sister's going to be sister, cousin's going to be cousin.
Yeah, like I get it. Not everybody is as close to their family. Like I, as a queer person, I totally understand that those lines don't, it's not all the same for everybody, but like, you know, in my case, my sister's just going to be my sister. You know what I mean? Like I've talked about it on the show before. Like she's told me to go to fucking hell and like called me every horrible word ever. And we didn't speak for a year, but the moment we reconnected, I was open arms and ready.
That's dope.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and like, I feel like that's the kind of the case, like your sister, your brother, your parents, that kind of, it kind of works that way. Like, it's just a completely different situation. But yeah, I look back and I feel like both professionally and personally, I could definitely do more work on being more passionate about those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I think that's where it all comes from. I need to be more passionate about those things.
I think communication, passion, and accountability all kind of go. They coincide.
They sure do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, gang. I like that.
I think a lot of it is about having like a team that like wants you to win. And the way that I see that in friendships is kind of like, I think of the best friend that I lost this year. We stopped talking to each other. I think it was on the show too. The girl that wasn't allowed back into Dakota, the bar.
Oh, yeah.
With her. Yeah. I remember she was all types of crazy and I always let her be crazy even when I knew she was wrong. Even when I knew she was wrong, because I wanted to be a good friend to her. I wanted her to feel like I was on her corner. Mm-hmm. But without realizing it, then at that same time, I wasn't on her corner because I wasn't having her be her best version of herself either.
You're not doing her any favors.
Mm-mm, I was not. Yeah, I was just letting her run rampant. And I think that's like, it's like, well, did I really want her to win or did I just want us to be on good terms?
Yeah, I feel that.
And like, that just goes with everything in life. Like, you want a team that like wants you to win. Mm-hmm. Like, even this past weekend when I competed, the lady that I had doing my makeup the day of was dope, and she wanted me to win. the lady I had doing my makeup the weekend before that literally told me that she wanted another contestant to win. And it's like, no, you want people on your team that are like going to be on your team. And that's like on every aspect. And I know that's like an example that some people can't relate to because it's a pageant. But like in life, you want, I don't remember the girl's name, but you want someone that's going to push you to audition.
Or Tyndall, yeah.
You want a Tyndall in your corner. Like
you want someone that wants... They want you to win.
Mm-hmm. In every aspect of your life. Relationship, personal, fitness, health, all that shit.
Yeah.
All of it.
I'm thinking of a couple of people through radio friends. I know you're familiar, Anish. These people are going through my mind of people that I wish I could have stayed friends with, but some of them I didn't have any, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't do anything about a couple of those people. I'm just like, listen, you didn't want me to win.
Yeah.
You did not want me to win from a long time ago. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do with those. But for the people that you care about, and if you're thinking about listening to the podcast, you're like, man, that was silly. That was dumb. I need to save it. I need to be accountable, or I need to hold them accountable to save this relationship. I think it's important to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes your friends are way closer to you than the family.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That and I don't know, like, your family can only understand so much. Your friends can only understand so much. Those things are so important to have.
You know what my sister told me this weekend?
Mm.
We had like a very serious conversation like about life, and she told me, she was like, because we're family and because we grew up together, you have this idea and version of me in your head of when we were much younger. She's like, you haven't lived in this house for over 5 years. She was like, things change. Mm-hmm. People are different. She's like, I'm different. I'm going to be a mother now. And
especially because she went from 22 to 27.
Yes.
That growth is insane.
Insane. And I think about that now because I'm 23. And
right.
Holy motherfucking
shit. You're
going
through it.
I am going through mm-hmm. it. Good and bad. But it's like, I really needed to hear that because I have this idea stuck in my head of who she used to be. And I think that's what happens with family is mm-hmm. you have this idea 100%. In your head of who you used to be when you were younger because you're in that like flourishing moment as opposed to your friends that are most of the time a lot more current,
mm-hmm.
in the know, in the now.
Yeah.
So, and that's also important to like remember.
Hell yeah.
When you're dealing with fam. Not who you used to be. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Had that exact conversation. That was the reconciliation conversation I had with my sister. That was like exactly what it was. I am not who I was before.
Right.
You haven't been in this house for, I think, 7 years, like, at
shit.
That time. So she was just like, so you don't know. And, of course, it was a lot more profane. But it was like, you don't know who the fuck I am. You don't know what the fuck I've been through. Because, like, she was in that house that I ran away from, like, way longer than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So she also was just like, you only have so much that you can say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can, absolutely, I'm still, like, this age and I still live at home or whatever. But you stop right there because you ran, like.
You ran.
You've been doing your own thing. That's
you
cute.
Me.
Yeah, but I'm here. So I agree.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there it is.
Good talk, friends.
Yeah. Very good. Very good topic.
Yeah.
Hopefully you got something out of that. Hey, The Mess will be back tomorrow morning on your radio. Tis the season. We'll have all kind of the Jingle Bass stuff. So make sure you listen to our show the 3rd of December of 2019. If you're listening to this in the future, isn't that crazy? People will be listening to this podcast like in the future.
Oh,
hi,
today,
future people. Hi.
Hi.
Today is my 1 year anniversary of being live on the radio for the first time.
Today is?
Yeah, well, my first day was the second, but also, I guess yesterday was. I was on the radio yesterday. I forget. I have my own show Sundays.
All right. Wow. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.